2, 1 John chapter 2. You see the title, it's one of the longest titles I've ever had. Normally I like short titles, but not today. Title of the message today, the difference between religion and a personal relationship with Jesus. The difference between religion and a personal relationship with Jesus. The devil loves religion. You hear me say that all the time. That's why there's so many false religions. And so how do you know who's telling you the truth, right? That's the question of the ages. I mean, I ask people this and they're like, yeah, that's right. I say, well, he gave us a book. It's called the Bible. And the Bible is how we determine what is truth. Not my opinion, not just sitting around thinking about it. It's the Word of God. But the difference between religion, the devil is okay for all of you to be religious. And I'm going to suggest that every single person in this room today, you are somewhat religious, or you wouldn't have walked into a church building. And so, but I will tell you, religion won't get you anywhere. It must be a personal relationship that only comes from turning from your sins. That's repentance. Turning from your sins, turning from any hope you have in anything, turning from the old way, turning from sin, and turning in faith to Christ. That then establishes a relationship with Christ. You become a child of God. And so let's look at these verses today. We're going to see this. It's going to be a fantastic verse. Boy, it just dovetails with what we're talking about in Sunday school as well. Verse 24, 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you. So that he's saying, let something abide in you. He says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Again, remember, one of the great reasons that the book of 1 John was written, 1 John 5:13 tells us it was written to those that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. It is written, one primary reason of the five reasons it told us, is that you would know that you have eternal life. Well, let's just look at this. Here's what it says in verse 24. He says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. Abide in what you heard from the beginning. Let me get my little clicker. I thought I clicked, but obviously I did. Abide in what you have heard from the beginning. Here is the simplicity. It is the simplicity of our Sunday school. It is how to have victory over the power of sin. It is this. If we focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, if we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ, if he is our meditation and all that he has done, his sacrifice for us, his death for us, his resurrection, his love, the great love of God. You see, no one will truly be saved unless they understand the love of God. And then, as pathetic as we are, we turn in faith to him, trusting him, that we would love him. And so I want you to understand this. The key to life, we've been talking about this forever, abiding in Christ. What does that mean? It's like soaking in Christ, abiding in Christ. And there's 66 books of the Bible. There's a lot to know. But the key to life, Davian, is never get far away from the cross. We need to see the cross every day and understand it was for me he died. It was for me he cried. And understand that it is never get that far away from it, right? Our new believers in this room. And so it's this. Keaton, I want you to know the whole counsel of God. I want you to know the entire Bible. But here's the key to life. It is never lose your focus off the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, the thing to focus on is Christ and him lifted up and his love for you and his work on the cross. That'll motivate you. That'll give you victory over sin. It's critical. I'm telling you, when someone's newly saved, sometimes they have more discernment, more understanding than a person that's been saved for 20 years. There's a man that will be left unnamed because I've promised that for a number of weeks. But I'm telling you this. I expect new believers, I expect the Holy Spirit to lead them to truth. Just had a new believer this past week. They said, hey, I was wondering about music. He said, I don't think Q102 would be something that a Christian should listen to. And I said, I was figuring the Lord would maybe work on that after a while. I didn't know what stations he listened to. I want to tell you this, it's not about rules. You understand this? I've never preached a message. Stop listening to Q102. That's not going to get you to heaven. But I'll tell you, here's what I told that person. I told him this week. I said, you know the issue with listening to songs that aren't about Jesus Christ? It gets your mind, it gets your heart away from the things of Christ. It doesn't have to be speaking of horrible things. But I'll tell you this. You want me to wander? You want me to drift from the things of God? All it takes is just focusing on anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to understand this. He says, abide in what you heard from the beginning. Now, this is important. This is important, right? I'm going to bring out two thoughts in this. It's very personal. Let me just show you a few verses here. Galatians 1. I forgot about these verses I was going to tell you about. Galatians 1. Just look at this. He says, Paul writing to the church at Galatia, he says, churches at Galatia, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel. See, never get bored with Jesus Christ. It's not boring. Stay focused on Christ. He said, Paul said, I marvel that you are called, that you are removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach another gospel unto you, that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so I say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, let him be accursed. Look at Ephesians 4:14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. I want you to understand this. There's only one way to be made right with God. It's not going to church. It's not being baptized. Baptism is an important step of obedience for you, Keaton. But baptism is not what's giving you eternal life. It's a big deal. It'll bring glory to God today, but that does not give you eternal life. So I want you to understand that. It's not obeying your parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the earth. Here's what the issue is. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin separates us from God. Then here's the question for every religion of the world. How are you going to get rid of your sin? Or at least, how are you going to get reconciled with God? The Bible says there's only one way. Only one way. And that is God himself had to come to this earth and put on flesh, and his name is Jesus. See, Jesus is the only way to be made right with God. That's what the gospel is. You see, gospel, 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 gospel. That word means good message, good news. What's the good news? Well, first you got to understand the bad news. The bad news is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sin has separated us. And I want you to understand, sin, you can't fix it. Your good won't erase your bad. I want you to see this. I want you to understand this. It's very personal. I rack my brain sometimes because I get so confused in our modern day. Do you know nearly everybody that I meet, they can talk Jesus pretty good? I'm blown away. I went to a wedding recently, and they talked God pretty good, and I'm telling you, most of the people that were there have nothing to do with God. But at a wedding, man, we can talk it. Because we want, you know, his favor. And so it's personal. It's very personal. I'm trying to figure it out. I finally got it. Here's what Christianity's become today. It's sort of like, how many of you are Bengals fans? Raise your hand. Bengals fans, you know? I'm not going to then preach against that, right? Bengals fans. You've been in a lot of pain, right? How many of you ever use the terminology when the Bengals play, you say, we? Oh, you got... Everybody else that didn't raise your hand, you liars. You know, so, oh, I heard Bill laugh. Bill, an Ohio State fan. I mean, that is an understatement of the year, right? And so when I first met Bill, it's like, whoa, man. I said, I didn't say this, but I wanted to say this. Bill, if you love Jesus as much as you do the Buckeyes, Jesus will be honored. And I think he does now. I think he does now. And so, Bill, do you ever use we terminology with the Buckeyes? Not anymore. Not anymore, right? That's good. That's good. Here's the issue. I see people all the time, and it's this. They get their identity from their church. And they say, we, we. And so, you know, it's I believe in God, generically. That's good to believe in God, but that's not going to get you to heaven. I'm blown away today, and I'm just trying to figure it out. Because people say the right words a lot, and yet their life doesn't reflect it in any way, shape, or form, but they can talk Jesus when they know they're supposed to. And remember the title of the message, the difference between religion and a personal relationship. See, I want you to understand, look at verse 24 again. This is super important. He says, therefore, let that therefore abide in you. In you. This isn't living vicariously through some organization. This is very personal. It's a tough reason why people struggle coming to a church this size. You know why? I know who is a visitor today. I know every single visitor that's here today. Because I don't know you. But everybody else I know. And so everybody else knows you're a visitor. You're like, oh man, I knew I shouldn't have come here. But there's a great thing about that, but we're not comfortable. But I want you to understand this. One day when we stand before God, we won't stand with anybody else. We'll stand alone. The only thing that is ever going to remedy you is that you were covered by the blood. You had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, when we talk about the Bengals, I go, well, when we play Pittsburgh, and I always want to say, we. What do you know? I'm a little sore this week because, you know, I had a tough Sunday afternoon at that game, you know, because we won. We won. You didn't do anything. And that's my issue, I think, what's happened to religion today. You identify and you associate with something that's not yours. You have this distant thought of God. You're not anti-God. You're not anti-Bible. But, oh, it's not personal. When the Bible says, let it therefore abide in you, that was at the beginning. For some of you, there was no beginning. You understand this? I ask people all the time. I say, well, if you died tonight, would you go to heaven? And they say, well, yes, I would. And I'll ask them, I'll say, why? And I occasionally get the answer. They'll say, my faith is in Jesus Christ. I go, how long have you been born again? Terrifies me. They'll say, I've heard this way too often, all my life. That's impossible. I was born a sinner, separated from God, and I was a child of the devil. That's Bible terminology. In order to become a child of God, it only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this. Then, here's what I want you to remember for the rest of your life. Remember how sweet it was when you came to know Jesus Christ. How different it was when you came to know Jesus Christ. And never forget that, and always go back. Remember the church at Ephesus? He said, you've left your first love. It had to be a love they had. I want to ask you, is your Christianity, is it personal or is it generic? Is your Christianity like you're a Bengals fan, you're a fan of God, but you're on the outside looking in, and it's not personal, it's not in your heart? Abide in those things that you had from the beginning. So many people, it's not personal. So many people, it's religion. So many Baptists, it's religion. First, it's personal, but I want to show you this. It results in righteousness. Look at verse 29. This is just in case I don't finish fast enough. Verse 29 says this, if you know that he is righteous, talking about Jesus, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. So I want you to know this. An outcome of your relationship, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is righteousness. It is what's missing today. You see, you must turn, you must have a change of mind, a change of heart, change of direction, turn in faith to Christ, and then Christ will lead you to righteousness. He will lead you to a life that is separated from the world. That message doesn't exist today. I want you to understand this. Does your life reflect that Jesus saved you? Does your life reflect righteousness in your life? If it doesn't, that should scare you terribly. You know, I love this, and you know, you'll say, oh man. You know, they'll say with my kids, like my son, they'll say, he looks just like you. You ever say that? He looks just like you. Man, they got the same color eyes. My kids would be horrified if they said they have the same nose. They'd be like, oh no, don't tell me that. And so, but you can say, he's yours. Let me tell you how you know you're the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be righteousness. You behave like him. You talk like him. Remember how when they said, oh no, Peter, we know you're one of them. And the way he said, oh, let me show you I'm not one of them, he began to curse and swear. Can a Christian curse and swear? Peter was a believer at that time. I'm utterly convinced. We can search the scriptures. But he knew one thing. He knew, I'll show you I'm not one of them. And he knew exactly how to do it. Peter repented bitterly. He wept bitterly. He was bothered by it. But I want to help you with this. See, Christianity is not about what you do. It's who you know. See, we've been preaching this and teaching this in Sunday school, and I'm loving it because it's so good, so many different angles, that I'm telling you, I need to simply focus on the love of God and his righteousness and his goodness and not on Steve. And when I do, let me tell you this, righteousness will be an outcome. It's not because I have a set of rules that I want to follow. It's that when I abide in Christ, I will be more righteous. Do you understand that? I'm not trying to be righteous to impress you when I'm thinking right. And I want to tell you this, no Christian, when they're thinking right, is saying we're better than anybody. No Christian's better than anybody, but we have a Savior that's perfect. We have a Savior that's righteous. We have a Savior that's holy. And when Jesus truly saved, he changes us. You understand this? Abide in what you heard from the beginning. Very personal. Are you just full of religion today? You just counting on, you know, I believe in God. Don't you worry about me. You know, I think it's okay. Carla's neighbor, met him yesterday. And he's lost. He had a stroke. I wanted to go see him. He can't open his right eye. If you ever experience people's strokes, it just affects things differently. They said in 3 to 6 months, he'll be able to possibly open his eye. His muscles will respond back. It's amazing how God's created our bodies. And I told him, I said, Wayne, I said, I want to have a Bible study with you. I want to show you in the Word of God how you can be made right with God. He said, I'm not ready. I said, you are ready. Your flesh is just fighting it. I said, Wayne, God has given you a clear message. You're dying, and it's pretty close. You say, I can't believe you said that. He almost died. He was in the hospital, 10, 11, 12 days. That's a long time to be in the hospital today. And I said, Wayne, I just want to show you the love of God, the goodness of God, how you can be made right with God. He said, I'm not ready. And he told me this, I believe in God. I said, great, so do the devils. You say, oh, Steve, look, there's a sense of urgency. For the wages of sin is death. We're going to die. Is it personal? Is it personal? Is it personal? That's the question, and does it lead to righteousness? Second, I want you to see this. Look at this. If repentance and faith are real, so if you've truly believed, see, again, 1 John's written so you can know. How do you know if you've believed? Everybody tells me they believe. How do you know? Because there'll be evidence. I tell this to people all the time. How do you know an apple tree is an apple tree? And they're looking at me like, I say, it's not complicated. And they go, it has apples. I go, hey, great. And they look at me like, how dumb do you think I am? And then I go, how do you know a Christian's really a Christian? How do you know if you believed? You'll have the fruits, you'll have the results of Christianity. Here's what it says in verse 24 and 25. Look at this. He says, let that therefore abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. If repentance and faith are real, you will continue. That doesn't mean you can't have a hiccup. That doesn't mean you won't have interruptions. But I will tell you this. You will continue. Remember this, just to remind you from what we talked last week. Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. There are people that are in this room, you will walk away. And if you can stay away and you don't continue in pursuing Christ, it's proof positive you were never his. Matthew 7 says, at the point of judgment, they will say, Lord, Lord, have we not done many wonderful works in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? He will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. See, God is not going to say, I knew you, now I don't. I knew you, now I don't. But I want to tell you this. It's you will continue. I love that. And it's not because I'm good. It's because when Jesus saves, He will lead me. He won't ever forsake me. Lead me. He will never forsake me, and he's good. Isn't that good? I tell people all the time, so many people say, I've got to fix this before I can be saved. No, you just need to put your faith and trust in Jesus, and he's the one that'll change you. And when he saves, you will continue. It's sort of like this. I've used this analogy, right? Deb and I, it'll be 36 years this December. One of the words we don't use is divorce. And so I'm not, that's not me here making statements about divorce. I'm just telling you, we've said we'll never use that word. So we've used everything. No, but it's, so we won't. And here's the reality. You know, we've said we won't divorce each other, even if we hate each other. So we've never said that. But that's kind of the thought. And here's kind of the thought. Oh, man. I'm going to be married to this woman. I probably ought to get along. As a Christian, you know this. If you really are convinced you're a Christian, why even try walking away? He ain't going to let you. And I don't really want to be spanked by God. And he spanks those whom he loves. You're truly, truly a Christian. You will continue. Second thing I want you to see, you receive eternal life. Isn't that good? I want you to show me one of my favorite verses in the Bible that deals with eternal life. John 5:24. Jesus says, verily, verily, whenever you see Jesus say verily, verily twice, it means truly, truly, just emphasizes it. He says, he that heareth my word, and so I know this, are you listening today? He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. That's present tense, has everlasting life. When do you get everlasting life? When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you can lose everlasting life, then it was not everlasting. Duh. Right? I mean, not too difficult. That's why you'll hear people say this. Well, you don't get everlasting life until you die. Well, not according to John 5:24. Jesus said, if you hear my word and believe on him that sent me, you have it. You have it right then, present tense. You shall not come into condemnation. That just goes right along with Sunday school. I'm not going to be punished. Therefore, there is no condemnation, but it's passed from death unto life. That's past tense. My present, I have everlasting life. My past, I've been passed from death unto life. My future, I'm not going to be condemned. So I want you to understand this when we go back. It's this. If you've truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life right now. That's why Jesus, when he looked at people and says, if you believe on me, you shall never die. He wasn't talking about this carcass. He was talking about the eternal soul. My soul will never die. My soul has eternal life from the moment of faith. So I want you to just rest in that, right? Rest in that. If you truly believe. Is it personal? Have you seen a desire to honor Christ? I promise you, this flesh never wants to do anything right. It doesn't mean that you won't battle this flesh, but there should be a difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Non-Christians don't want to come to church. Non-Christians don't want to separate themselves from the world. Non-Christians never tell anybody about Jesus. Show me somebody that never tells anybody about Jesus. You've showed me somebody that's probably not a Christian. And so I tell you this, you can know if you've truly repented and believe, you will continue and you will receive eternal life. I want you to see this. Don't be fooled. Look at this. It says this in 1 John 2. He says, verse 26, these things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Don't be fooled. Now, here's what it's talking about. And it's, this is, in my opinion, now I'll get to heaven and the Lord will say, the Lord's word is eternal. So it's as though it was written last night. The Lord's word is not, it's not this ancient text that's not relevant today. The Bible is more relevant than you and I. There's no other book that's more relevant. There's no other book that is like, nailed it. I'm going to show you this morning. He says, don't be fooled. Now, how can we be fooled? Look at verse 27. He said, trust God to teach you all things. He says, but the anointing, if you're saved, you have an anointing. You have an indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Just remind you, look back at verse 20. But you have an unction, that's the same word for anointing, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Go back to 27. But the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. Let me first tell you this. That is not against teachers. God tells us in his word, the Great Commission, that we are to teach all nations, and that after people are saved, we are to teach them all things. Here's what it means. It's to say this. There was this for centuries. We don't preach that here. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. What we talked about in Sunday school. You want to avoid guilt and shame? Study the Word of God. So it's talking about this. You don't need somebody. I'm not standing up here saying, just listen to me. No. Let me tell you the greatest application of the 21st century. I'm telling you, you know, what do you think? I don't think. If somebody, okay, I'll give you a $50 gift card. I get poor with these things. What do you think one of my greatest issues is and causes me more angst and consternation in the 21st century? What do you think? They're top five. What'd you say? Apathy. Anybody else? Wrong. YouTube. The internet. Well, Pastor, I was watching YouTube. I'm like, why are you watching YouTube? And I heard this guy say this. You know, my first response is, well, what's the Bible say? Why are you going to YouTube for your Bible teaching? Why are you going to the internet for your Bible teaching? Turn off the internet. Turn off YouTube. Turn off social media. I know we do shorts in social media. That's for the people that don't hear this message. I'm telling you, it causes me more issues. They're like, well, that guy on YouTube didn't say that. Oh, God, a lot of people on YouTube are nuts. When the Bible says you need no one to teach you, how about getting in the Word of God? No, don't open up a commentary. I didn't say I'm anti-commentary. But how about just wrestling with the Word of God over and over again, and then at the last moment, maybe look at a commentary. But then you should find out who what commentary should you listen to? Should you read? I'm telling you, it'll mess you up if you're getting your Bible teaching from YouTube. You know where you need to get your Bible teaching from? You and the Word of God and the Holy Spirit showing you the truth of God's Word. I just promise you, that's what we need. Now, that doesn't mean there aren't preachers, there aren't teachers, but I want to tell you this. The greatest thing for you, Keaton, is not me. It's not Anna's grandpa. You know what I liked about Anna's grandpa? What's your name again? Vic. Vic, I like that. Vic, I don't know any Vics. But I saw Vic and I said, I messed up. And Vic lovingly corrected me. I said, I was so glad, you know, because he teaches Keaton as well. And I'm concerned, right? Who's teaching him, right? I said, I was so glad when I found out you were a Baptist. And he reeled back. I loved it. He goes, well, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. That's a way better label, isn't it? I loved that. And I was like, that too. You know, I mean that. You can be a Baptist and be lost. But here's what I want you to understand this. This will help you understand. Open the Bible, not randomly. We're not playing Russian roulette here. Open the Bible with the plan. You ask me, if you haven't started in the Bible, start in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start with that book right there. And you know this? Ask the Lord to lead you to understanding. Ask the Lord to give you understanding. And sure, you can ask questions. That's why God told us that we ought to disciple others. But I'll tell you this. Ofrandi, you in the Bible. You, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit. Are you saved, Ofrandi? Yes. Then the Holy Spirit, okay, I know, you're like, I trust you are. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit lives within you, and the Bible says, the Bible and the Holy Spirit are enough. He's going to lead you to truth. Of course, ask us questions. Yes, there are difficult spots in the Bible. The Bible's not that difficult. We're just lazy, and our flesh hates it. Wayne told me yesterday, am I going to get in trouble for this, you know? And so I would love Wayne to watch the but odds are no. And so, what did Wayne tell me? I just went point blank. I don't remember. It was there. I was going to catch it. But here's the key. It's the key. Let God teach you the Bible. I want you to question everything I say. I tell people that all the time. Don't believe anything I say unless you see it in the Bible. You need to search the Scriptures. Maybe I'm a kook. I tell people that all the time. They're like, what? I say, how do you know if I'm a kook or not? I said, only the Bible, right? I mean, hey, a lot of people disagree with what I'm preaching today. I'm telling you this, I want to preach this book. I want to preach the Lord Jesus Christ high and lifted up. But they all say that. They say they believe the Bible. They all say that. How do you know who's telling the truth? You need to get in the Bible. You need to get in the book. Ask God to help you understand the book. Oh, here's what I'm going to tell you. Not about Wayne, but it's this. Two things. Here's what the Bible says. If you're saved, the Holy Spirit will lead you to truth. The Holy Spirit will give you understanding. If you're lost and you've toiled in the Bible and you never have understanding, it's a red flag. You may not be saved. There is something in the Bible that talks about Christians not having understanding, and it's if you've hardened your heart against God, you're mad at God about something, don't expect to have understanding from the Word of God. See, I told Antonio this morning, because Antonio, you know, we can always find something to be unhappy about, right? And so Antonio, he's going to camp with Alberto, and Antonio came up to me today and he goes, you know what I just found out? He said, I'm not allowed to be with Alberto because he's in 10th grade and I'm in 7th grade, going to 8th grade, I guess, right? And so he said, no, I can't be with Alberto. And I thought, well, man, you're going to have a great camp with that spirit. Right? And so I told Antonio, I said, well, is God ever wrong? He's never wrong. And if God has Alberto in a separate group than you, then guess who's right? God. And so what should we do? Right? Then we're complaining against God, just like I do, right? Just like I do. So I want you to know this. Don't go to camp saying, well, if I'm not with Alberto, I'm not going to have fun. Guess what? I can guarantee you won't have fun if that's your spirit. But here's what you need to do. If God doesn't want me with Alberto, see you later, alligator, right? It's trust God, right? Trust God. I want to tell you, trust God to lead you to truth. Not YouTube. Not some guru. It's the Bible. It's the Bible. Final thing that I'm going to finish with is abide in Christ. I want you to see this in verse 28. Look at this. He says, now, little children, abide in him when he shall appear. See, Jesus is coming again. There's going to be a trumpet sound, and Jesus is coming again. He's going to take all those that are his. And then you don't want to be here for those next 7 years. Jesus is coming again. There's a reckoning day. Jesus is coming again. Abide in Christ. Look at verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed. It's kind of amazing, right? Confidence when Christ returns. Let me show you another verse that I love. And let me just, I didn't put it in there. Okay, turn if you will. There it is. Found it. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Look at this. This is the goal of Christians. This would define abiding in Christ. You want a passage that defines abiding in Christ, immersing in Christ? He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He says it right here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, you want to be rooted, you want to be grounded in the love of Christ, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Let me tell you, the objective of a Christian is to know the love of God, the height, the depth, the length, the width. You, and I'm telling you this, I think for all eternity, we're going to be discovering the love of God. Will I have a perfect mind? But will I be all-knowing? I won't be omniscient. And Jesus will be our teacher. And you know what I think he's going to focus on, Jacob? His love. The height, the depth, the breadth, the length. And when do you think he's going to run out of preaching from that? When eternity's over. Which is an oxymoron that I said right there, right? Eternity never ends. Oh, Christian, if you've been coming to Sunday school, that's the emphasis, abide in Christ. Abide in Christ. Why? That we will have confidence when Christ returns. That we won't be like, we won't be embarrassed. No shame. No shame. You see, it's people could be saved and you not know it. Do you want to be one of those? Do you want to be one of those Christians that there's really no evidence that you're a Christian and yet you are? I'm not saying how many, though. If you're not living for Christ when he comes, there will be shame. I don't want Jesus to come back when I'm being mean to Deb. So I'm always like, Lord, just give me a couple minutes. No, I don't want Jesus to come back when I'm not thinking on the right things. I don't want Jesus to come back when I'm not doing the right things. I've always dreamed, and this is so, don't you feel sorry for me, I would love to die having a Bible study. I feel sorry for the person sitting across from me. I'm like, he died in front of me. I want to die serving the Lord. I want Jesus to come back when I'm serving him. And my confidence will be in Christ. But I don't want shame. And what's the key? Abide in Christ. What's the key? Abide in Christ. And then finally, I told you about that. Those born of God live righteously. Remember, I started with this, and I'm done. The difference between religion and a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, the religion, it's mechanical. Religion, it's ritual. Religion, well, the church will get me there. Religion, well, that preacher will get me there. Religion, you're always talking about that, something outside of you. 95 out of 100 people, when I ask them, why should God let them in? They never mention Jesus. And if I said, well, what about Jesus? The response is, yes, him too. You see, if you know him, you'll live for him. If you know him, you'll know it. Great to see Jacob and Damaris back. We'll get a full report. Still guys still loving each other. That's good. I expected that, right? Did you get new glasses? You got, those are old glasses. So, had such a good time. You broke your old your new glasses. So, welcome back. I want you to know this. It's if I asked Jacob, I said, hey, who's your wife? And you go, hang on a second. Damaris. And I didn't know you. Do you think I would think you had a wife named Damaris? No. When I ask people, who's your hope? What's your hope in? And they never mention Jesus until I do. I'm afraid I think you have religion. You can know all the facts. You can agree. The devil's okay if you agree intellectually. Just don't make it personal. And you'll know when it's personal. Jesus will change you. There's nothing better. There's nothing better. You know what we started off with? He said, hey, let's just look at verse 24, and I'm done. He says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. He said this, if you're saved, you know what it is to know Jesus Christ. And boy, is it good. Is it good? Don, if it ever becomes old, and I love that it hasn't, don't you dare forget what it was like at the beginning. That's what you need to have freshly every day, what it was like at the beginning. Never forget it, what it was like at the beginning. Never forget the mercy and grace of God. Always go back to the mercy and grace of God. But you go, Steve, I want to learn so much more. You learn so much more. But never forget, go back to what it is like. Isn't it good to be saved? What you used to make fun of, now you are it. Isn't it good? Never forget that. Never forget that. You know what I love? It's something that you did. It's something that you are. It's something that you understand when I say, go back to what it was at the beginning. I'll be saved 50 years this August. You know what I love? I love meeting Dons. You know why? They remind me what it was at the beginning. I want to love the Lord Jesus Christ as much as you want to. It's good. Don't you ever forget it. And if you do, I'm going to help you remember. You see, it's personal. It's personal. It's a joy. It's not bondage. This is just reminding us. Don't forget. Don't get caught up in everything else. It's about Jesus, his love, his goodness, and his word. The Holy Spirit will lead you to truth if you're saved. Stop watching YouTube. Let's pray. Father,